Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Hello, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
Our regular colleague, Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune, is off today. So, Danny, you spent a good chunk of the day yesterday observing the Wisconsin Supreme Court as it listened to testimony in the dispute of who is or who should be head of the State Natural Resources Board.
Yeah, and as you might recall, this all stems from a lawsuit that was filed by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call seeking to remove Dr. Fred Prehn, who was the former chair of the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board. Fred Prehn's term expired last May in 2015. He was appointed by former Republican Governor Scott Walker to a six-year term. But last year, Governor Tony Evers, who is a Democrat, appointed Sandy Noss and Sharon Adams to the board to fill vacancies left by members whose terms were expired. But his decision to remain on the board blocked Noss from taking a seat. And basically, Prehn is arguing that a 1964 Supreme Court ruling allows him to remain on the board until the Republican-controlled Senate confirms his replacement. And last fall, a Dane County judge ruled in favor of Prehn, and Call asked the state Supreme Court to hear the case. And so a majority of the arguments revolved around whether or not Prehn could remain in his seat, whether he could hold over in his position. You know, the Wisconsin Assistant Attorney General argued on behalf of Call that Prehn has no authority to be in office right now after his term expired. That created a vacancy on the board and allowed the governor to fill it. Prehn's attorney basically disputed that fact, and conservative justices on the court seemed to agree that there was nothing in state law that says that upon expiration of an appointed term, that a vacancy is created, allowing the governor to make such an appointment. And the Supreme Court's swing vote, Justice Brian Hagedorn, appeared to question the governor's authority to remove Prehn, basically saying that early laws that were adopted gave the governor very limited power. And so if the court were to rule in Prehn's favor, he could remain on the board for years. And a ruling is expected sometime at the end of the court's term, which wraps up in June.
All right. Also involving the Wisconsin Supreme Court, or at least a former justice of it, you told us last week about one of those members who's been challenging the 2020 election.
Right. Former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, who is the special counsel for a Republican-ordered investigation of the 2020 election in Wisconsin, recently signed a new contract with the Speaker of the State Assembly this week. And that was the same day that a judge ordered Gableman to turn over hundreds of pages of documents connected to that case. Now, with this new contract, that will run through April 30th of this year, allowing them to continue their work. But that work has come under a lot of criticism. Some of the documents that were released this week, there was a report out by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that many of the subpoenas that Gableman and his team had ordered were never actually sent out, including to an organization run by Facebook that provided funding to five of Wisconsin's largest cities. And that is what Gableman has targeted in his election probe, is that funding that he essentially said swayed the outcome of the election in Biden's favor. And Biden won the state by roughly around 21,000 votes back in November of 2020.
All right. Well, looking at both sides of the bay, quite literally, there was a summit this week about cleaning up the St. Louis River.
Yeah, the annual St. Louis River Summit was held, in which people were given an update on progress toward cleaning up the St. Louis River estuary. It's one of the most polluted hotspots on the Great Lakes that was first listed among 43 sites in the U.S. and Canada along the lakes back in the late 80s. And, you know, there was some discussion about how the infrastructure bill recently set aside $1 billion for the Great Lakes, which is expected to go towards cleaning up the most polluted sites, including the St. Louis River. There was some discussion that some projects they believe might be moving forward that otherwise would not have without funding, including work at the Munger Landing and also the U.S. Steel site on the Spirit Lake area of the river. And about $200 million has already been spent to clean up the St. Louis River. And they're hoping that, you know, with this new infusion of funding, that they'll be able to delist all of what they call beneficial use impairments, or, you know, ways in which you can't take advantage of the river for fishing or swimming or recreation, that sort of thing. They hope to be able to delist all of those sometime after 2025 and hopefully have the site delisted by 2030.
All right. And in another instance of cooperation between Minnesota and Wisconsin, the state's governors have some ideas about the federal gas tax, given the ban on Russian oil imports.
That's right. Yeah. After President Joe Biden announced that the U.S. would be banning Russian oil imports and really energy on Tuesday this week, Governor Tony Evers joins several governors, including Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota, urging the U.S. Senate and House leaders to suspend the federal gas tax as gas prices climbed more than 50 cents in the last week. We've seen gas prices now, they are at least in Wisconsin, more than $4 a gallon on average. You know, oil prices have climbed to levels this week that we haven't seen since 2008. They've retreated somewhat. But now, you know, the governors have urged this move to relieve pressure on residents. Governor Tony Evers said that, you know, Wisconsinites can't wait for relief. They need help now. But even if that federal gas tax were removed, it would only save people on average about 18 cents per gallon. But that hasn't stopped the governors of Michigan, Pennsylvania, Colorado, New Mexico, and of course, Wisconsin and Minnesota from asking for some sort of relief for people as gas prices have climbed to record levels.
Right. And there is also news that some of the oil producers in the Gulf region may be upping production after all. But a warning to that is that gas prices traditionally do not fall as quickly as they rise. So we've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior Base reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We leave you with more of the music of Colleen Myrie, or Colleen Big Mama Myrie. I'm Robin Washington. And as always, stay safe, everyone.